Approaching the end of the book of James. We've been preaching on this for a long time, getting towards the end. The formula for effective prayer. James gives us this. Last time I preached, two weeks ago, I did the first part of this, part one. It was about confessing one to another. It says in verse 16 of James chapter 5, it says, "Therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed." And I talked about the importance of confession one to another, and we talked about that a lot of times that gets left out. We have things going on inside that we keep to ourselves. And that doesn't mean you broadcast your sin or your issue all over. But the Bible does stress the importance of finding someone that you can confide in. And then you both pray about that issue, whatever it may be. And that's the first half of this. It was about confession. And it was about understanding that it's not necessarily our physical. So many things we pray about are physical. Our health is physical. Okay, our financial status, our house, our money, whatever it may be. But prayer is every bit, if not more, about our emotional and spiritual well-being, as well as our physical. But we do tend to spend so much time about the physical. And James tells us that mutual confession and prayer play a part, a very important part, in having an effective prayer life. And so many people I talk to, we're not satisfied with our prayer life. We say, wow, sometimes seems like it works, sometimes doesn't seem like it works so well. And so last time, it's talking about the prayer. Today, we're going to talk about the prayer. And I want you to understand the difference. The first was about our prayer, the actual prayer that we pray to God. Today, we're going to talk about you and me, the prayer. Okay? The prayer. I even have it hyphenated in my notes. The prayer. The one who is praying. Okay? So I want you to understand that, because otherwise you're going to miss the whole point. And that's why the part two is being a productive prayer. Not having a productive prayer or praying a productive prayer, but being a productive prayer. Prayer. One who, you know the person, the one you may have come in contact with. It just seems like that person's prayers get answered. And so we want to go to them and say, oh, pray for me on this or that. Why do you think they got better contact with God than you do? I mean, do you not have the Holy Spirit? Should you not have productive prayer also? And the Bible does talk about where two or more gathered together, and the effectiveness of praying together as a body or as a group. But all of us have the opportunity to be a productive prayer. And that's what James is talking about here. And so now we're going to analyze this. And being an effective prayer is to be a productive prayer. I mean, what does it say? The urgent request of a righteous person is very powerful in its effect. The King James, the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man avails much. Okay? I don't know about you, but I've had times when it feels like I prayed and it didn't avail anything. It just seemed like nothing changed. And yet, the word is the word, and the word is truth. The urgent request of a righteous person is very powerful in its effect. And that's the first part of this is on your outline, the inspiration of a prayer. Now remember, we're not talking about the prayer, we're talking about you and me. What is inspiring us to pray? What is going on inside of you when you pray? Part of that is your motive. Because, you know, God looks into our hearts and He sees our motive. You pray a selfish prayer, a lot of times God's not going to act on that. Not that He can't or won't, but sometimes we just pray selfishly. You know, sometimes like a child, I just want that train set. You know, I just want that train set. And then as we get bigger, it just becomes a bigger request. But what's the motive behind it? And do you have faith? Is there faith? Do you really believe what you pray? And so God, you know, what is inspiring you to pray? We need to take account of that. We need to think about that. And so James has this broken down, and we've got these three verses, and we did the first half of 16 last time. And so now we're going to look at the last half of 16 and 17 and 18. And the last half says the urgent request of a righteous person is very powerful in its effect. And so we need to pray relentlessly. Relentlessly. In fact, the word there for prayer or for pray in that, the urgent request or prayer, the word in the Greek is energio. Energio. Energy. Do you pray with energy? Is it important to you? You know, sometimes we pray like Eeyore, you know? Oh, well, got another bad situation going on in my life. I guess I might as well pray. Probably not much going to change, but Bible says I should pray. So here we go. God, help me out, please. But if you don't, I understand. I mean, you know, but you know, we may not say it exactly like that. My granddaughter found that amusing. anyway, we may not say it like that, but sometimes that's what's going on inside. We're like, well, I'm going to pray because I know I should, and I know God can do it, but He's really not going to do anything. I'm kind of stuck with this. Do you pray like you are resigned to a foregone conclusion? Or do you pray like your prayers can make a difference? I mean, pray with energy. That's what that word is. It means energy. It means fervency. It means you're into it. There's power there. Don't pray like it's done and settled when it's not and God hasn't yet acted. Pray relentlessly. Pray righteously. Righteously. He says what? He says the urgent request of a righteous person. A righteous person. You know, all of us got flaws. Bible says there is none good, no, not one. That's why we're in need of a Savior. That's why we need Jesus Christ. Because we are not good enough to get to heaven, and there's nothing we can do to get there on our own. But Bible says that we have His righteousness. When we place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, His righteousness is kind of imputed upon us. And when God looks upon us, He sees a righteous person, not because we're flawless, but because we're His children. We're adopted into His family. And He's paid the price for our sin. And so we need to understand there's two kinds of righteousness. And one is positional. Okay? Positional. And be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own from the law. In other words, I'm not righteous because I do everything right. I'm not righteous because everything in this Bible I have done perfectly. I mean, all of us, if you've read the Bible, you know you can't do it. You've already blown it. It says, but it's not one of righteousness from the law, but one that is through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. When you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we are declared righteous. Positionally, we are righteous. Okay? Secondly, though, is practical righteousness. Practical. Psalm 66. If I had been aware of malice in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. You see, when we harbor things in our heart and we know they're wrong and we haven't made it right, God wants to deal with what's going on in our heart. I mean, yeah, you got a prayer. Yeah, you got a need. But he's like, but what about this? What about that thing you're holding on to? What about that situation you're not doing anything about? What about those things? You know, you want me to help you over here, but hey, I want to help you right where you're at. You know, you ever have that with your children? You know, they've kind of blown it. They haven't asked you to forgive them. And yet they come to you, can I go to the store? You know, can I go to the mall? And you're like, you just did all this. You haven't owned that. Why should I listen to this request? How many times do we do that with God? If I'd been aware of malice. Now listen, sometimes there's things going on we're not even aware that we're wrong. And sometimes we need light. God knows that though. But the psalmist, if I had been aware, he would not have listened. What is it you're aware of that you haven't dealt with? What is it that you're aware of that needs to change? The flip side of that is Psalm 34, 15. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their cry for help. And so, hey, and it's not that we are perfect. It's that, you know what, we're forgiven. We've confessed our sin. We've asked for forgiveness. And we're trying to do what's right. And we're trying to handle the things that are going on in our life. And God knows we are but dust. He knows we're a mess. But he knows we're trying. And you know what? His ears are open to that. You know, just like, again, with a child. Comes to you, and you know they're trying. Maybe they can't do it, but they're trying. Your heart goes out to them. And God does the same thing. Because we're his children. We're his children. And so we must be clean. Listen, God is not looking for perfect vessels. If he was, he would have stopped with Jesus. The rest of us, too bad. But he is looking for clean vessels. You don't have to be perfect, but you do have to be clean. You do have to ask for forgiveness and confess and make things right the best you can. And God, in his perfect wisdom, deals with us accordingly. So pray relentlessly, pray righteously, and I like this one, pray ridiculously. Okay? Pray, you know, you got to come up with these, you know, when you're putting these together, they teach you, you know, everything's got to be, you know, a letter. But this is really cool. Because he says, confess your sins one to another, pray for one another that you may be healed. The urgent request of a righteous person is what? Very powerful in its effect. It avails much. Pray ridiculous prayers. You know, pray a prayer that, man, you're like, there's no way this could happen, but God, you've laid it on my heart. I'm going to pray for it. Let me ask you a question. How big is your God? You serve a big God or a small God? You know, you say that, but do you pray like that? See, because we all know, yeah, intellectually, and yeah, we know, hey, God's big, he's awesome, he can do anything. But do you pray like that? The size of your prayer often reflects the size of your God. My God is able. That's what the Bible says. He is able. Is he able? You know, I fall into the trap too. Believe me. Listen, I'm not any different than you guys. Sometimes you pray and you're like, you know, I know God can do something. And he'll probably do it for whoever, but he probably won't do that for me. You know, that's the way we sometimes think. Like, that guy there, that guy or that gal, you know, she's really got it together with God. He'll probably answer that prayer, but he's pray ridiculously. Pray big. You know what I'm praying for right now? It's just in a material sense. We want to build this building. I want to do it without a loan. Okay? That's a ridiculous prayer. But I serve a ridiculous God, you know. He can do stuff like that, okay? I mean, I'm praying that we build a building debt-free. That's my prayer. And that's something you all can kind of grab a hold on. You know, and we got this board going up here. I'm going to have Harvey present that. You're probably walking by there. What in the world is this thing hanging on the wall, right? Well, it's about the new building and all that. And honestly, Harvey's explained it to me 3 times. I still don't get it, but it's okay. You know, it doesn't matter. But the whole point of it is we want this building. We need this building. I'm praying that we don't got to go into hock for it. That's a ridiculous prayer. Because I know, we get the budget. We do a budget every year, you know. And, yeah, we make ends meet and all that, but not to the tune of 300, 400,000 we don't, you know. So, hey, but God's got all the money in the world. And some of it will come from us, but some of it can come from who knows where it can come from. So pray a ridiculous prayer. You know, one that you don't think. You think, Bible says what earlier in James? You have not because you ask not. Right? Just start asking. Not for selfishness, but for the good of the kingdom. God's got his ear open for that. Pray ridiculously. Pray relentlessly, righteously, ridiculously. So we see the inspiration of a prayer, a person who prays. He's inspired. He's got a goal, you know, whatever it may be. And he knows, it's got to be a God thing or it's not going to happen. And so he's relentless. He makes sure he's clean when he comes before the Lord. And then just don't be afraid to ask for the big thing. And then let God do what only God can do. But then he gives us an illustration of a prayer. An illustration of a prayer in 17 and 18. Who does he pull out of the hat? James, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says Elijah. Elijah the prophet. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Yet he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. Is that a ridiculous prayer? I mean, even in the desert, we get rain once in a while, right? I mean, prayed that it would not rain, and for 3.5 years it didn't rain. It says, then he prayed again, and the sky gave rain. And the land produced its fruit. He gives us an illustration. The first thing I want you to see is Elijah was a person. I know that may seem pretty basic, but you know what? These great men and women that you read about in the Word of God, they're just people. Just like you and me. They had issues. They had problems. They had circumstances in their life. And they got up every day and they had to figure out, you know, what they were going to eat and what was going to go on at work or, you know, all the same stuff we do. They were just people. They had sometimes very corrupt authority over them. You know, just like sometimes we do. You know, they're people. Do you understand? You're people too. You have just as much ability to go before God and ask for a crazy prayer as Elijah did. He's no different. He was the same. You know, read about Elijah in Kings. This was a guy that was depressed half the time. He was in fear a lot of the time. He also had great victories. He performed miracles. You know, God's power through him. But he's just a guy. He's just like us. He's just a person. God uses people, folks. Look in the mirror, you're a people. And He can use you. He can use you. He was a person. He prayed with passion. It says He prayed earnestly. He prayed earnestly. Do you pray like you believe you're going to get a result? Now, here's the hard part. Here's the part I want you to get. I'm just going to read it. Do you understand that the result God is looking for may be different than the one you're looking for? You know, I think about Paul. He had something wrong with him. A lot of people think it was his eyes, but he had a thorn in the flesh, as he described it. And he prayed. Now, this is Paul that raised people from the dead. He, you know, he healed all. It says even his shadow would come across people. You know, and people just, you know, he was going to heal. And yet he prayed for himself three times, and three times God said no. And God said what? It's not good for you that I should heal you. You'd become prideful. Sometimes we pray for a certain result, and God has a whole different thing in mind. And sometimes we spend years praying for God to take something away from me that He has no intention of removing. Because why? It wouldn't be good for me. It might make me prideful. Just to use Paul, it might make me whatever. You fill in the blank for you. What would it make you? Because you see, what God is really interested in is conforming you to the image of His Son. He's trying to make you like Jesus. That's His goal. That's what the Bible says He's about. Conforming us to the image of His Son. And if He takes that thing away, you might not ever move any closer. In fact, you might even get further away from being like Jesus. And it's not necessarily health. In Paul's case, it was apparently a health issue. It could be anything. So sometimes we're looking for the wrong result, folks. And that gets us frustrated in our prayer life. Sometimes we need to understand that certain things are just not going to change. And that may be hard to swallow. That may be hard to take. But either God has your best interest at heart or He doesn't. Now, which is it? See, that's the things we got to remember. He's sovereign. He knows. And He knows what would happen. And He wants to use us. You know, the Bible says He takes, you know, He's strong where we are weak because He gets the glory. You know, if I'm all messed up in a certain way and yet He can use me, and those of you that know me, you know I'm messed up in certain ways, but He can use me. Okay? Family's really nodding their heads, but, you know, a lot of you have seen it. But, you know, but God still uses those that are willing to be used. And sometimes He just doesn't change certain things that you'd like Him to change. Because He wants the glory. He deserves the glory. Only He is worthy of the glory. Not us. So pray with passion, though. Pray like you believe it's going to do something. But sometimes we've got to change our expectation. You know, like Paul. God said, you know what? My grace is sufficient for you. That's what God told him. And you know what? There may be something going on in your life. You just need to come to that place where you accept that God's grace is going to have to be sufficient for you in that area. Whatever that might be. And then look for the other answer. Look for what God is doing. If He's not taking it away, then what is He doing? If He's not changing it, what is He doing? We spend so much time figuring out what we want and then trying to get God to bless it rather than find out what God wants and then slide under His place where He's at. Pray with passion. Pray with purpose. It says he prayed earnestly. Okay, that's the passion. He says what? That it would not rain for 3 years and 6 months. Pray with purpose. So what was the purpose in that? You know what God was doing? He was trying to show Israel, that's the wicked kingdom of Israel. Remember the nation of Israel split? You had Judah and Benjamin was Jerusalem, and then you had the other 10 tribes, and they were all wicked. And that's where Elijah was serving. King Ahab, very wicked king, very prideful man. And Elijah's praying, and he's praying for no rain. What was God trying to do? Show Israel it was dependent upon God. Sometimes we are put in situations where we will depend on the Lord instead of ourselves. Do you consider that there might be more to your situation than just you? See, a lot of times we get focused on us, and I'm not saying we need to ignore things. I mean, obviously we have to deal with things in our life. But it's been my experience that if something's going on in my life, it's more than just about me. God's doing stuff on a lot of levels. Some that I may be aware of, some I may not be aware of. Here's a question for you. Can you pray for something you don't want to happen, but you do so anyway because you know it could result in something better? Do you realize, you know, Elijah prayed that it would not rain. Do you realize he had to kind of go through the drought too? He wasn't exempt. It didn't rain where he was at either. In fact, he had to go out in the wilderness because Ahab's after him. Because Ahab knew he prayed there was no rain, the whole country's going under. And Ahab's after him. And God's got him hidden, and God's sending ravens to feed him. And God sends him by a little brook so he can get some water. But Elijah prayed it anyway, even though it brought a lot of personal inconvenience to his life. I remember when things were really difficult financially. You know, we had done things not wise with our finances, and it really made things really tight for a lot of years. And you know, we prayed that. You know, we came to a realization, my wife and I, that we needed to change some things. And so we prayed that God would, you know, help us out, blah, blah, blah. Well, the problem was, you know, we were still, like, in trouble. So we had to go through stuff in order to learn, in order to learn to do better. And not always was it fun. I mean, it wasn't fun. Not being able to buy the food we wanted to buy or, you know, whatever. There was times when we had a lot of macaroni surprise. And, yeah, it's called macaroni surprise because it was a surprise when we didn't have it. But you do those things because God had a bigger plan. And it wasn't fun going through it, but when you come out the other side, I look back and I'm thankful because I learned a lot. And I'm thankful because it changed some other things that didn't have anything to do with that. Do you pray for something you don't want to happen, but you do anyway because it could be better for you in the end? Those are hard prayers. But pray with purpose. Pray with a purpose. Don't just pray. What's the purpose of your prayer? Lastly, pray with persistence. verse 18. Then he prayed again, and the sky gave rain, and the land produced its fruit. Well, what you don't see there, you know, you got to go back to Kings. Elijah actually prayed seven times. God told him, I'm going to send rain. Go pray. Now, God already told him, I'm going to send rain. So, shouldn't that be enough? But he told Elijah, go pray. And Elijah goes to wherever he went, this place where he could see the horizon or whatever. And he got on his knees and he prayed and he looked up. Nothing. Prayed again, looked up. Nothing. Prayed again, looked up. Seven times. On the seventh time, a little cloud. It says the size of a man's hand. Little cloud. Seven times he prayed. Even though God had already told him it was going to rain, yet he had to pray seven times. And then he sees this little cloud. And like, now, I don't know about you, but I would think if the drought was going to break, I'd be looking for like thunderheads. You know? I grew up in Florida. Man, every afternoon, you knew it was going to rain. Every afternoon. Every single afternoon in the summer, it was going to rain. And the thunderheads would rise up in the west. And you'd see them coming. Where I lived, they were coming from Orlando. It was just, that's where it was coming from. And those things came over, and I mean, it would come down, and then it would go through. And 30 minutes later, you never knew it rained, except for the fact it was now 150% humidity instead of 100. But other than that, you know, you couldn't tell it rained. That's what I would have been looking for if I was Elijah. You know, sometimes when we pray and there's an answer, we're looking for this big deal, you know. And sometimes it's just something small that's going to lead to something bigger at some point. You know, get your eyes on God. Get it off whatever else is you're looking at. And then it's funny, you know, God tells Elijah, you better get moving, man, because it's really going to, you know, and all you see is one little cloud. Like, really? But the Bible says, you know, he girded up his loins. I love the way the King James puts it. Gird up your loins. It just means, you know, they wore those robes. Pull it up so you can run. It's basically what it was saying. And it says, this is really cool. Ahab's in a chariot, and he outruns Ahab. Now that's an inspired man. But he outruns Ahab. And the rain came. Be persistent. Don't give up. But you know what? You got to make sure. Then see, here's the thing. Is it God's will? Is it God's will? Because you see, he could have prayed that whole 3.5 years persistently, but it wasn't going to rain until God says, okay, now it's going to rain. See? He could have wasted time in prayer for 3.5 years, but when God gave him revelation and said, okay, now you need to pray for this, that's when he did. So many times we pray for things and we're persistent, but we're praying for the wrong thing and we get frustrated. And we give up. Make sure you're in God's will. And the only way you know that is to have a relationship with Him. People say, how do I know? You know, there's no substitute for a relationship with God, folks. Are you working on your relationship with God? Do you spend time with Him in His Word and in prayer every day? And work on your relationship with God. And you know what? When the thing comes and you see that thing, you're going to know. I don't know how else to explain it to you. But you're going to know. Because you have a relationship with the living God. We have to be persistent, but not foolish. Don't pray for things that God has no intention of answering. You know what I have found? We pray. We spend a lot of time praying to keep people out of heaven. And not a whole lot of time praying about people getting in heaven. You you know, you're praying for someone, oh, they're sick or whatever. Honestly, look, I'm not saying don't pray for loved ones and all that, but everyone has a day that's going to be their last day. And if they're saved, we pray for their health and, you know, pray for their health and all that, but move on, you know? Because if they're saved, if God takes them, you know what I always say, right? Can't threaten me with heaven. Can't threaten me with heaven. But there's people that are dying every day that are not going to go to heaven. They're going to go to hell because they don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Do we spend as much time praying about that as we do ones that are already, they're going? They're going to heaven? Balance, folks. We've got to have some balance in our prayer life. So Elijah was a person, we're people. Elijah prayed with passion, he prayed with purpose, he prayed with persistence. It's not an accident that James used this as an illustration. God gave it to him. Holy Spirit worked and said, this is how you pray. I'm going to read an illustration that I came across. It's not an illustration, it's a testimony actually. Many of you may know John MacArthur. He's got a great ministry there in Santa Clarita, great Bible scholar and pastor. He wrote this. And it totally sums up this message and the one before, the confession, mutual prayer. One of the most memorable experiences of this ministry occurred when a student came to see me. He had been studying for ministry. He came from a strong Christian home. He was very skilled as a student and had all the characteristics for leadership and effective service to the Lord. But he had often lost the struggle to some recurring temptation and suffered some rejection and unjust criticism. He was struggling and losing. He confessed to me. See? He'd been trying to do it on his own and he was losing. He confessed to me that he had lost the will to read the scriptures and had no heart for prayer. Finally, he sought me out to pray with and for him. Pray with him and for him. That through my prayers, God might grant him the power and victory that he longed for, but had no heart to pursue. I asked him to kneel with me side by side using two chairs. So he pulled two chairs out and he said, let's kneel. And I've done, you know, done this. You get on your knees and you put your head in the chair, you know, and pray. He says, I will never forget what he did. As I knelt with my arms and my head down on the chair, he laid himself not on his chair, but across my back, placing all his weight on me. This was a humble gesture of dependence he was placing on me to be his strength. Tearful prayer and confession were followed with much joy as God heard my prayer. And in the days to follow, he testified to strengthening grace. He testified that God was strengthening him through God's grace. And it says he completed his courses nobly and went on to serve the Lord. Confession, prayer and humility can change your life. It had to be a very humbling thing for that young man to go, you know, and just say, hey, I'm struggling with this. This is beating me. And yet he confessed it. He was humble. And he prayed. And John MacArthur prayed. And God worked in that situation. And that's really what James is saying here today, is that be humble. Don't be so prideful that you can't share with somebody. Confess your sins one to another. Pray for one another. And see what God will do. James has given us a formula for having an effective prayer life. Effective. The key to this formula is mutual confession and mutual prayer with an attitude. And this is the part that prayer is about what God wants to do. That's why I kind of underlined it and highlighted. It's about what God wants to do in your life rather than what you want God to do in your life. There's a difference. We need to be seeking out God in our life and lining up with Him. You must passionately, purposely, persistently pursue God's will in your prayers. God's will in your prayers. If you do, you will see God work in ways above and beyond all that we can ask or think according to the power that works within us. I don't know about you, but I can ask and think pretty big. The Bible says He'll work in ways above and beyond all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. And what is that power that works in us? The Holy Spirit, folks. According to the Holy Spirit working in your life, God wants to work. Do you understand that? Get a hold of it. Yes, you. Even you. God wants to work in your life. He wants to do something. He wants to accomplish something. Regardless of the stuff you've done or the way you are or the obstacles that may be in your life, whatever that may be, God wants to do something in you. And if you've accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, the power is there. It's just a matter of you lining up with Him. Now that's a prayer, a person, a prayer who is productive. That's a prayer who's productive. Such prayer is only through the Holy Spirit. My question for you today is, do you have the Holy Spirit? That's my question for you. Have you ever gone to God and asked Him to forgive you? Admitted to Him you were a sinner, asked Him to forgive you, trusted in Jesus Christ, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross for your sin and the sin of the world, trusted in that, knowing you're not righteous, but you're trusting in Jesus' righteousness and His sacrifice and His shed blood for you. And if you've done that and asked Him to forgive you, He does, and He sends His Spirit to reside in you, and now your Spirit and His Spirit have fellowship. You are made alive. You can now have relationship with the living God, and you can have answers to prayer like Elijah. But if you don't have that, there's only one prayer God wants to hear from you, and that is, save me, Lord. That's the only one He wants to hear. I trust in You, Lord. That's it. That's the one He wants to hear. There may be someone here today, you may believe in God, you may, whatever, but you've never asked Him to forgive you. You've never trusted in Him for your salvation. There may be someone like that here today. For the rest of us, does your God need to be bigger? Do you pray selfish prayers rather than a bigger picture, perhaps? Are you passionate or are you like Eeyore? Do you have purpose? Things for us to think about in our prayer life. If you're unhappy with your prayer life, man, think about some of these things. Think about what God has wrote in His Word. And implement them. They work. God honors His Word. If we can have every head bowed, every eye closed, we're going to have an invitation. We're going to have an invitation. How many would here today would say, Brother Mike, I have never asked God to forgive me. I've never confessed to Him that I was a sinner. I deserve hell, but I want heaven. And I've realized today I can have it if I just trust in Jesus Christ. But I've never done that. I need to do that. Anybody like that, just slip your hand up. I want to pray for you. God bless you. God bless you. For the rest of us, how many would say, Brother Mike, I need to start praying according to God's will in my life rather than my will? How many would say that? Amen. God bless you. God bless you. How many would say, I need a little change of attitude towards my prayer life? I've kind of realized some things here today. How many would say that? God bless you. Amen. God bless you. Listen, God loves you. And I know there's pain in this room. I know there's people dealing with stuff in this room. And I know you've been praying for years. But I want you to know God loves you. And when everything else fails, He is there for you. And He'll never leave you or forsake you. Is God enough for you? Can you come to the place where God is enough? I pray that you will. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I come before you on behalf of these. I pray, Lord, if there's someone here that does not know you, Lord, they would be bold enough to come forward and ask for prayer for their salvation, and that they would pray. And for the rest of us, Lord, there are many here that, yeah, we've kind of prayed small prayers because we just kind of just don't believe that God will do it for us. But Lord God, I pray you'd increase our faith. Increase the faith of these that raise their hand, Lord. And help us to have a different attitude toward what you're doing in our lives, Lord. Knowing that you are good and you are God and that you are able and that you love us and that you're working in our lives. Help us to be sensitive to that and to move accordingly. That you would be glorified, that our lives would be transformed, and that people would see a difference, that your kingdom would be impacted because of what you've done here today. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, this is your time. If God has laid something on your heart and you want to deal with it, this is the time. This is your opportunity. Take advantage of it. Father, Lord God, we come before you, for you are the mighty God, and we come to you in prayer because you are the God of prayer. Thank you for allowing us to come to you in this manner. We don't deserve it, Lord, but we thank you for the privilege of prayer. Lord, may our prayers be pleasing to you, Lord. May they be according to your will. May they be according to your ways and your plans, Lord. Father God, help us to have understanding as to how you're working in our life. And Father God, help us to just humbly acknowledge your presence and your work in our midst, that you would be glorified, that your kingdom would grow. Lord God, I even now lift up, we got fires going on, Lord. There's men and women placing their lives on the line in these fires. There's many men and women and children, families, Lord, being displaced by these fires. And Lord God, I pray that you would reveal yourself to them through this tragedy, through these tragedies, that you would be very real to them. And Lord God, those that were in the shootings, Lord, the families that were affected there. And Lord God, there is evil in this world, and it goes forward and it goes on, Lord. But You, God, are the God of love and compassion. And Lord, I pray for those people that are affected by these tragedies, Lord. And I pray You would be very real to them, that You would move in their life in such a way that they'll know there's a God. And Lord, if they don't know You as Savior, Lord, I pray that through these events, they would come to know that there is a God who made the supreme sacrifice on their behalf, that they would know You. Lord God, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for what it says about prayer and about how we can be great prayer warriors, Lord, because of what You have shown us. Help us, O God. Let it be so. In Your name we pray, amen.